Everyone turn to Romans 8, please. Tonight we're going to talk about spiritual discernment and perception. And we're not going to turn here, go to Romans 8, but in John 16:12, we know this, so that's why I'm just going to briefly go over it. Jesus told his disciples, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." That was in John 16:12. You're going to Romans 8, though, okay? We know that the reason why the disciples could not bear anything else that Jesus would teach them was because they were not yet born again. We know these teachings, right? This is just some groundwork. They weren't yet born again, so they could understand mentally, you know, in the natural. But Jesus knew that the deeper level of understanding would have to come after they were born again so that it could be spirit-to-spirit understanding. And that's why in verse 7 of John 16, Jesus says, "It's better for you that I go away." It's better. Of course, they were sad about this, but it was better for them. And he was looking to a time when they would understand on a spirit level. And he knew that that was a better way to know and understand the kingdom than any other way, than anything natural. And guess what? Spiritual understanding is still his preferred and best way to teach us. That's still the best way to teach us. But too often for centuries in the church, Christians have stopped receiving from God through spiritual insight and revelation and have relied on their natural senses and reasonings. And that's actually what's caused a lot of trouble, right? Denominations. Pastor Jim's taught on this. Many other ministers that we know have taught on that, you know, if everyone was doing what they should be in the spirit, we'd all have the same doctrine. Okay, you know, and then what happens is the doctrine gets off and then there's factions and people are like, "Well, I don't believe this and I believe this," and then they part ways and then more denominations. And I tell you something, when we were down here, I've never seen so many denominations and churches in my life. Sometimes Pastor Jim will say something or other people will talk about other denominations, and I'm like, I've never even heard of that. Like, never even heard tell of that story, that name, you know. My grandma used to say that. Never heard tell of that. That's why where a lot of false doctrines came in, because people, they weren't connecting. They were not walking by the Spirit. They were just walking by their natural reasoning. You know, give some examples. Sometimes in the church, people will look at young people, and because there's this old saying in culture that children are seen and not heard, it kind of went over into the church, and it meant that kids had nothing to say. But if they're born again with the same life and spirit that you are, and they're spending time with God, don't just dismiss them because they're a child. Obviously, they need. I'm not talking about don't parent your kids. I'm saying sometimes young people will come to you, and they'll have something of God to say. But when we judge with our natural eyes only, or our natural perception, and not spiritual perception or spiritual discernment, we're going to just forego whatever God would have said through that child, maybe. And we see that with King David, don't we? Before he was king. Remember when Samuel was coming to anoint the next king? Jesse, his father, didn't even call him from the field. He's like, it's not going to be him. But that was the one that God chose. And the Bible says he was a lad. And I'm not exactly sure what lad age is, you know, but just meaning he was not an older person. In the body of Christ, it's unfortunate, but sometimes we revert back to old ways of thinking. Another example, women ministering. Don't worry, I'm not going to just do women, but for many, many years, you had to be a powerhouse like Catherine Kuhlman, or men didn't take women seriously. And there was taught in the body of Christ to this day that women can't preach, they can't speak in church. That's not right. It's totally a lie. But if you only look at things that you were always taught, your denomination always said, you don't spend time in the Word of God to know what the context of those verses are. I don't like when people say, "Well, that woman was so anointed, therefore women must be called." No, just get into the, you know, presence of the Lord, and he's going to reveal to your heart that women can be called. Having said that, not all women are called, just like not all men are called. But in the Spirit, there's neither male nor female. So sometimes our natural reasoning will say, well, she's just a woman. She can't do whatever. Okay? And that's very much taught, especially in non-spirit-filled circles. Because non-spirit-filled circles, they only can decipher the word by their natural reasoning because they shun the Holy Ghost. That's why there's so much trouble. And not just in non-spirit-filled churches, but you get the point. Well, what about men? Some people, they've been hurt by men. They have been hurt by authority, and so therefore don't trust men anymore. But that's ridiculous. There are godly men and women that God will put in your life. We must stop judging by the natural realm, by what we see. And we have to begin to walk in the spirit person that we are, the spirit man that we are. I say spirit person, that's silly. Spirit man that we are. Because none of those things we're talking about, none of them is based upon spiritual perception or understanding. It's based upon false and old denominational teachings. And God wants us to live by the Spirit, doesn't He? But to live the type of yielded life, that type of yielded life where you live by the Spirit, I'm telling you, this is what it takes. Every day, all day choices of surrender and tuning into your Spirit. Do you remember the last time I was up here at the very end, we prayed and then I came up and I said, okay, close your eyes so we're not distracted. Don't do it now. I'm just telling you what happened. And then it was like, okay, it was such a sweet presence. And I said, just focus on the Lord. Connect that spirit, you know, your spirit to Him. Sometimes it's hard to find words that don't sound new agey. That's not what it is at all. Your spirit being first. Okay. But that connection that you have, that tuning into the Spirit, that, you know, focusing on your spirit man first. Okay. That is how you're to make decisions every day about everything in your life. Now, I know you don't have to ask the Lord if you can go to the bathroom, okay? So we're not getting ridiculous with it. But the point is that every day God wants us to walk in a spiritual discernment and perception over natural reasoning. And the reason why is because now we can, right? And this is where Romans 8 comes in. Let's start at verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So because the firstborn is raised to life and has been given that life, you can be too. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, that's your own spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's who we are. God wants us to be led by our spirits and not our flesh. And right here, don't think of flesh just like sin. Like, oh man, I'm struggling and I keep lying. Whatever. Okay? Not just that. Think of your flesh as anything that is opposed to God's ways, to His instructions, to who He is, okay? And that would include any time that you yield to the natural man over the spirit man. Okay, so God says, walk in the Spirit. Well, I don't want to. I want to just do what I've always known to do. Well, that's your flesh. Sometimes we relegate things to, well, this flesh is just sin. No, flesh is also disobedience, rebellion against God's instruction. One of the things God was showing me when I was preparing for this is that oftentimes people live their Christian life like in sections. So when it's time to pray and read your word and worship or go to church or do spiritual things, well, now we walk in the Spirit. But then when we get about our own life, it's like we disconnect from the Spirit, man, and we're like, we're just going about our own life, like we're living in this natural world. And we are living in the natural world. But what God is really trying to get us to the point of is to stay completely connected to Him and sensitive to Him at all times. Not just when you feel like you're doing a spiritual thing or when I feel like I'm doing a spiritual thing. And trust me, I've worked to do with this. One of the things, I used to be so like on it all the time. Like anywhere I went, I would always be thinking of who can I talk to, who can I minister to, who can I, whatever. And you don't always have to be like that, but I'm just saying if you're tuned to your spirit man, you're going to hear more when He says to you, go and talk to so-and-so, go and pray for so-and-so. God is trying to get us to stay connected to Him and be sensitive to His leadership. That's what He wants. But this requires a life where we learn to perceive what God is saying instead of trying to understand and figure everything out with our natural mind. When I was, I don't even like saying this, okay? I'm working through and out of being a perfectionist, okay? And my dad used to say to me, Jamie, not all your ducks are always going to be in a row, you know? And learning how to let the ducks fall and just be okay with it, because God is leading you in a different direction, or what he told you to do, that duck's now out of place. He wants us to be so sensitive to his spirit and not try to always figure everything out. Oh, what about this? What if I do that? What if I do this? No, that's natural reasoning. That's man's way of doing it. Everyone turn to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So good. We don't want man's wisdom. You know, the natural man anyways cannot understand the things of the spirit. That's what we're about to read. That the natural man and the natural mind cannot receive the things of the spirit, and yet we try to figure everything out apart from the new man that we've been created to be. And not all the time, but really the Lord showed me people, even in this room, people watching, it's like we still live in sections. This is my Christian section and my spirit section, and this is the rest of my life. And he doesn't want that, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Do you see that? Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Not, he doesn't want that, but in the power of God. Isn't that amazing? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not, so he's like, we do speak like deeper things, but he says, not the wisdom of the world, nor of the princes of the world that have come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. How does he reveal it? By the Spirit. It's not by your natural mind. It's not by my natural mind. It's not by reasoning. It's not by trying to figure it all out. Unfortunately, too many of us keep slipping back into that. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, again, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's Holy Spirit comparing things with our spirit, okay, teaching us on that spirit-to-spirit level. That's what it's talking about. And listen to this, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Have you ever talked with a family member or a person and you talk about God and they just think it's ridiculous? That's why. It's because their natural man cannot understand this. Another translation says it cannot. Their natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What are we talking about tonight? Spiritual discernment and perception. We're going to get more into it so you can see more of the word on that. 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have, what do we have? The mind of Christ. So we do have a mind. There is understanding, but it's not a natural man reasoning mind. It's the mind of the Spirit. It's the mind of Christ, not the deity mind, but it's the mind that was created in his image within our spirit man. That's how we're to understand things. Pretty amazing. So we have the mind of Christ. We just read that, right? But do you know that we can choose not to operate in it? We can choose to stop the spiritual flow of perception and go with our natural reasoning. But why would we do this? Why do we do this? God's best is to spiritually discern through our spiritual mind and our spiritual understanding. Why do we try to go back under natural reasoning? Verse 14 of this, it says that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That word discerned there means scrutinize, judge, examine, investigate. To discern really is basically translated a decider. So I looked at a whole bunch of different definitions, and ultimately it comes down to it's a decider. Okay, but the decision should now be coming from your spirit and not from your natural man. Okay, this is what this is really talking about. It's talking about the mind of Christ. In context, the mind of Christ. It's not your natural mind, it's your spiritual mind. So your spirit is investigating and making determinations and decisions based on the Spirit of God revealing to your spirit his mind, mysteries, and heart on a subject. That's what's happening. So to stop that flow means that you stop his mind, mysteries, and heart from being known to you. And that's what happens every time we stop focusing on the Spirit, and we're like, oh, I think I'm going to figure this out on my own. The section of church and God and Spirit, that's over here. But over here, I'm going to do this. But when we do that, we stop his flow into our lives. Do you remember we're not going to go there, but in Acts chapter 10, remember the story of Peter who preached to Cornelius? Do you remember? So he brought the message of the gospel to the Gentiles, the first one to do this. And do you remember he was up on the rooftop praying, it says, and he was fasting. And about the noon hour, a blanket came down, and on it was all these beasts that were unclean to the Jewish people. And he heard the Lord say, you know, kill and eat. And he's like, not so, Lord. I've never let anything unclean come to my lips, cross these lips, or whatever he says. And the Lord said, whatever, you know, what I call clean, don't call common. And this happened three times where the sheet went up and down up three times. And then, you know, then the Lord said to him, okay, there's men coming to the door. They're coming for you. Not in a bad way. They're coming for you. They're coming to get you. Go with them, questioning nothing. So he starts going, and he goes over to Cornelius' house, and then I love that he begins to preach, and before he's even done, they're all filled with the Spirit praying in tongues, you know, because they just needed to hear the gospel. They were already ready to believe. So I love that that happens, and they're like, dang, like every time something was going on, they're like, they knew they weren't in control and in charge. Well, in verse 34 of that chapter, of chapter 10, there's a word it says that Peter perceived that salvation had come to the Gentiles. That word perceived there means to overtake, as in something dawned upon you. That's what it's talking about. Okay? And it's because if you read that story and the progression of how it happens, it's like initially God had to show him a massive vision during a fasting and prayer time to get him, because Peter wouldn't have gone with Gentiles had God not first done that. But then he gets to the house and he realizes, okay, salvation. And then they start praying in tongues. He's like, okay, well, now I guess, you know, Gentiles can pray in tongues. And then it was like, well, now they can be water baptized. Like, it was this dawning upon. I'm going to tell you something. People often say, what does God's voice sound like? That's what it feels like. It's a dawning upon in your spirit, something that you didn't know before. That's what it feels like, okay? It's coming from that spirit part of you where you didn't know, and it suddenly dawns upon you, okay? You're not that smart. I'm not that smart. Holy Spirit is speaking to us in our spirit. That's what his voice sounds like, okay? It also means to comprehend, to obtain, and to know. So this word perception, it goes beyond the natural, obviously. Perception is supernatural understanding. Okay, meaning you didn't do it, it's something God did, conveyed to us on a spirit level. And then remember, we have the mind of Christ, so we do have a spiritual mind that can understand some things. And perception is how Jesus knew things. And I want to give you some scriptures here. We're not going to go to them, but you can write them down. When we see Jesus in the Gospels. Do you know that repeatedly, and I only wrote three references, but there's more, where it says Jesus perceived. He knew their thoughts. The perception was there. Okay? So in Luke 9, you just read the whole chapter. I think it's like 46 to 48, but just read the chapter. The disciples were arguing about who was the greatest in the kingdom of God. They were arguing. And Jesus didn't know what they were saying, but the Bible says he perceived their thoughts, okay? Not because he heard them, not because he used his natural reasoning. He perceived what they were thinking. And then through that perception, he taught them. He taught them what he knew they needed to hear, because why would God give him that perception of what was happening if he didn't need to address it and teach on it? It's perception. It wasn't natural reasoning. It wasn't because he was smart, though he was. It wasn't because he was like an Einstein, though I'm sure Jesus, wasn't it John that said, there's not enough books in all the world kind of thing. Like, we could fill the world with books for all the great things that Jesus did. Jesus was awesome. He was amazing. But he operated in perception. In Luke 20, it says that Jesus perceived the deception of the Pharisees and was able to address their deception with a God answer. So that's where they were trying to trip him up in his words. And they asked him, oh, Lord, is it okay? Is it good for us to give tribute to Caesar? And he perceived, so they didn't say it like that. They're like, oh, Jesus, they're coming all smiles. Is it great to give? Is it good to, you know? But Jesus perceived their deception. And he gave them a God answer in the moment that they needed it. And we know the answer, and I love it. Give to Caesar what Caesar and give to God what God's. And then they couldn't even question him anymore. Like, shut down, you know? John 16. Jesus knew what the disciples wanted to ask. So they were just like whispering and talking, and they wanted to ask him a question. And he began to explain to them the answer without even being asked. I love Jesus. He is so cool. When Jesus knew things, let me ask you a question. When he knew these things, when he perceived these things, without having had a conversation, without having heard, how did he know? God revealed it to his spirit, right? Spiritual perception, spiritual discernment. But to perceive what God was saying, Jesus had to be in tune to his spirit at all times. And that came from time with the Father. You can never get around or away from time with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. If you start giving your flesh time away, your flesh will just want more and more time away. When you start noticing that your time is being sucked away by other things, immediately put a stop to it and be like, no, I want to spend time with the Lord. Immediately. Because it's a slippery slope. And I know there are times in our life, when my dad passed away that first year, oh my goodness, thank God, God is so good to us, because I would just sit there crying and worshiping. And the Lord was so close, but you kind of feel numb. And anyone who's lost a loved one knows you kind of feel strange on the inside, like not yourself. And the Lord was there. And so there are times and seasons in our life where God really does carry us. But I'm not really talking about those times when you're going through a really hard time. I'm talking about your flesh just got away from you. You let things happen in your life, and you're not spending time with him. And even in that time, do you know that when I was hurting so bad, I knew that I couldn't stay away, which would just make everything worse. Your emotions will get out of whack. For Jamie, okay? Jamie will start getting irritable and angry. Very quickly. I don't know why that's like my go-to, but I have to constantly stay in the presence of the Lord so I don't let that stuff, again, recovering perfectionist means if things aren't perfect, it's annoying, right? So that's kind of where it comes from. Being in the presence of the Lord helps just deal with those emotions and the thoughts. It puts me back into the spirit, right? In John 5:19, we know this. Jesus said what? He only did what he saw the Father do. John 12:49, he said that he only said what he heard the Father say. And we know that Jesus is seeing and hearing in the spirit realm because the Father is not in the natural realm with him. Jesus didn't come down and sit like you have bodies. How is Jesus seeing things? He's using his spiritual perception, spiritual eyes to see and to hear and to know what God is saying and doing. Jesus operating out of spiritual perception shouldn't be a surprise to us. The fact that he didn't judge things in the natural, because it was prophesied in Isaiah. So everyone go there, Isaiah 11, let's read it. Isaiah 11 prophesied about how Jesus would not judge things by his natural eyes or by his ears. Isaiah 11, talking about Jesus, starting at verse 1. It says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And shall make him a quick understanding of the fear of the Lord. That just means his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. You see that? Neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, meaning he won't decide by what he hears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle or the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Jesus does not judge things by the natural eyes and ears. Everything is done through spiritual perception, through that understanding that comes from time with the Lord. Everyone turn to 2 Corinthians 5. We're talking tonight about walking out of just natural thinking, natural man, and walking into spiritual perception, spiritual understanding, spiritual discernment. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth," I love the old King James, "because of this, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This is basically talking about, listen, you know, we died with Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, we died with him. We were crucified with him, right? And then we are raised to new life. And because he died for us and because of this new life, it says, from now on, we should live for him. That's it. We should live for him. And he said, "But and don't judge anything," verse 16, "according to the flesh anymore. You know, judge it by the Spirit, because when you're in Christ, you're a new creature." And I'm just going to read, I wrote this down in the Amplified Bible, verse 16, it says, "From now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way." This is telling us we're to regard no one and nothing from purely a human standpoint. That's what it's saying. We're not to do that. We're new creatures. And obviously, the people who are not born again, they're not new creatures. But because you have the ability to hear God on their behalf, so you know how to minister to them, so you know how to talk to them, so you know how to pray for them. Jump over to chapter 10. Paul just reiterates this a little bit. He's addressing the Corinthian church here because they had judged Paul based on his outward appearance. Verse 7, he says, "Do ye look on things after the outward appearance?" Question mark. As in, basically, don't do this. "If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ." Paul's basically saying, don't judge according to what your eyes see. Don't judge according to what you're hearing or what you're thinking even. Don't do it. You're not to judge that way. And honestly, the Bible is full of stories where if we judge just by the natural, so many people would be disqualified. Okay, think of Moses. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's home. So even though he was Jewish, to them, it would have been like he was an enemy. Like, you know, the Egyptians had them in bondage. Then on top of that, he stuttered. But that's the one who God chose. King David, we know, like we talked a little earlier, that he was young, but I mean, the whole Bathsheba thing. I don't even need to say anything else. We know that that is wrong. Bathsheba and then killing Uriah, or like putting him out on the front lines. What about John the Baptist? What if somebody dressed in camel hair and eating bugs walked in here right now? We're like, oh, that's it. That's so weird. Immediately, again, see, we're in our natural. That's what our eyes are telling us. It may look weird, but what's your spirit saying? A lot of people dismiss John the Baptist because of that. Jesus. People dismiss Jesus because the Pharisees and the Jewish people wanted a natural kingdom, and Jesus was basically just stomping all over that religious thing. They didn't like him at all. He was not their choice of the Messiah. Or Mary. She was young. She was of no amazing family. But God looked on her heart. Peter. Oh my goodness. He just kind of always was putting his foot in his mouth, wasn't he? He was doing and saying the things that a lot of people question and they ask. And the hardest part was that he denied Jesus. And you know what gets me? Is that one of the Gospels that says Jesus looked at him. When the cock crew, he was like, he looked at him and knew. He denied Jesus. Or Paul, who destroyed the church at the beginning before the road to Damascus. The Bible is full of people that if we judge them by our natural eyes and natural ears and natural understanding and natural mind, they would be disqualified. But that's not how God chooses things, okay? Holy Spirit is an invisible, non-material being, right? He's not here materially. But he needs a material vessel, that's us, to work through. But if we are more tapped into this natural realm than the spirit realm, then we will miss what he's trying to say and what he wants to do. We need to start asking God to help us to see the way he sees, to see in the spirit, because we are part of a new kingdom. And in that kingdom, we have new ways to see, new ways to understand, new ways to perceive the things of God. So to live by our natural man any longer when that's what we've been given is just foolish. That's just silly. Why would we do that? I said early, most non-spirit-filled denominations, they kind of don't have anything left to fall back on but their natural reasoning, because they omit the teacher. But you know that even in spirit-filled churches, you must hear this. Okay, hear this. This is a spirit-filled church, yes? You are spirit-filled, yes? Yeah. Okay. You still have to choose daily to tune into your spirit and not keep going back to your natural man. I have to do that every day. Just having the spirit isn't enough. It almost sounds blasphemous to say that, but it's not. It's you choosing to stay in there with him. You know, mental knowledge is not going to be enough going forward. There's going to be coming a day where you're going to know so closely the Spirit of God and what he's saying to you, and not rely on your natural understanding at all. There's coming a day for that. And there's unfortunately an ungodly epidemic in the church where Christians are living apart from their spirit. Christians are living in the natural realm and they're never connecting to the Spirit of God in them that is connecting to the Holy Ghost. I'm going to share a dream with you. And we're getting close to the end here. The Lord gave me this dream November 19th, 2020. I woke up this morning with such a sobering dream. I was asked to preach and lead worship at a big Pentecostal leaders convention. Many people were there. It wasn't just leaders, but there were special meetings for only leaders. And that's where I was asked to minister. And this place was huge, like not just the room. There was buildings and different like meeting places and auditoriums all around. They had big grounds, okay? As I was waiting to minister to the leaders in this one room, I felt ill-prepared. And by the way, I've had several of those dreams in life, which is so crazy, where I get up to the stage and I'm like, I don't have any worship, I don't even know what I'm doing, and I'm like, what, you know, so I was kind of like, oh great, this is another one of those things. But in the stream, I felt ill prepared, like I wasn't ready for my worship. I didn't know what I was going to say. And I'm like, you know, firstly, that's not even like me, but. So I was sitting there in this room, in this dream, very anxiously. My dad was there with me. It was just him and I, as far as anyone that I knew. But at this point in the dream, I woke up briefly, and God whispered something like, "It's not nice to be afraid, is it?" Because there was that anxiety. And I'm like, "No, Lord, it is not." And I fell back asleep, only this time the dream had changed. I was still in the dream, but it changed. Now I was still about to speak, but it was in a much, much smaller room, auditorium. And I was prepared this time, so I get up to minister, but the leaders didn't want to listen to what I had to say. And it wasn't because of me personally, it was because they didn't like the message, which is essentially that they were responsible to live in the victory that Jesus provided, that things just didn't happen, that they had to actually walk in the Spirit. Some did begin to listen, and they came back into the room, but it was very sparse. The ones that did listen were convicted and changed, but it was such a small crowd. And remember, these were leaders. Okay, so the message is now over, but before I left, I went to find the president of this ministry to file a formal complaint. I'm not sure why it was worded this way, but that's what it was. The reason I was going to talk to the president was because this should not have been, not because of me, but because the leaders didn't want the truth, and this was a major problem. Only to get to the president, I had to make it back into the big auditorium. The problem was that this ministry was on huge grounds that looked like a resort. There were activities everywhere. It was summer and it was hot and there were tons of water activities. As I was making my way into the auditorium, there were also masses of people trying to get into that building too. Surrounded by all these people, I knew it was a lost cause, that I wasn't going to get to the president. But as I looked around, I was struck by the utter nonsense all around me. People had been playing all day on the grounds and were now on their way to church, but they still had on their swimsuits and casual wear. Although I do not think it is right to wear only your swimsuit in church, that was not the point. That was beside the point. The point was that this was just their next event or entertainment of the day. Church had become so very common to them that it was no longer special. These people were being entertained without hearing any life-changing truth. They also looked and acted like cattle. So not only could I not get through them, but it was like they were all in a trance. They were shuffling as one mass group toward, you know, this big auditorium. It was a mass of people. They were in a trance. They didn't know what was going on. And the leaders loved them so. Loved them like that. I knew at this point that if the body of Christ didn't wake up and start walking right before God, that they were headed for disaster and even death. And then I woke up. I need to make a point here. Dressing formally is not the takeaway, please. I'm not saying you should come to church showered and dress appropriately, but that's not the takeaway. The takeaway is not what you're wearing. You can be dressed appropriately and far from God. The takeaway is that they're just next event, natural realm, playing. That's the takeaway. They needed to wake up. That's what the Lord showed me. So how do we wake up, guys? If we're sleeping in any area, if we're not walking in this spiritual discernment and perception, the best way is to be alone with Him. If you don't spend time with Him, how are you going to know that still small voice when He starts leading you? So just start praying, start worshiping. And then when you know He's with you, and even if you don't feel anything, but you know what? He inhabits my praises. Get quiet. Listen. Start listening for His still small voice. Doing this will help us locate His voice so that when we're out about our lives, we'll be able to know what to say. In conversations, be aware that God could be speaking to you in a conversation. Almost all the time, not just a regular one, like, "Oh yeah, you know, like, everything's good, how are you doing, oh, it's sunny out." But you know, when people come to you, and they're hurting, or they need help, be listening in your spirit to what God would have you say, if anything. Sometimes you just need to listen, but always be listening. In your families, God will give you wisdom, especially if you've come from parents who were really bad at being parents. You definitely need the wisdom of the Lord to know how to raise your children. You definitely need that. in our church services, we need to be aware of what he's doing. When I lead worship, I always try to lead like this, okay? God, what are you saying? I have songs picked, but I think you all know that I don't always do all the songs that are over there. And sometimes I do different ones. And sometimes, like this past Wednesday, it was 8:40. We just done worship all that time. And I hope that wasn't hard for you. But if it was, then you know you have something to work on. Because an hour and 40 minutes should be nothing. Let me say it again. An hour and 40 minutes should be nothing. Okay? If you are not in that place where you're spiritually perceiving what God is doing, you're going to miss a lot of stuff. It's part of the reason why somebody didn't bring a word that they were supposed to bring. It's like there's a dullness. Well, I don't know what's going on. That's called living in your natural man. When you're in spiritual, that place where you're spiritually perceiving the things that God is saying, the things that he's making known to you, okay, you're going to not wonder, oh, is this God? No, you're going to know it's God, and you're going to be bold and share it. When you're preaching, you have to know when it's over. Sometimes you have way more sheets than time. And, you know, we talk about preaching complete, make sure it's complete. But complete doesn't mean say every single thing on the subject. Otherwise, we'd be here for hours every single time. Complete means you do exactly what Holy Spirit tells you to do. That's what complete means. What about the songs that we play at greeting time? Do you think that it's nothing that the Holy Spirit will bring us to a certain point? And our hearts are here, and it's like there's an intimacy. And then, like, the sound people have to be so in tune, right? Because you can put on a song that totally takes you out of what Holy Spirit just spent an hour or 45 minutes bringing you to. What if there's no greeting time? Are you going to get your fellowship a different way? Are we bold enough to say, Holy Spirit, you are really in charge of this service. You're really in charge of my life. I'm not going to live in my natural man anymore. Are we bold enough to do that? I think we want to be. I'm not sure we're there yet. Part of the reason why words come forth in church or things happen, God, why Holy Spirit wants to be in charge is because he knows what we need. He knows what the body needs, and he knows what needs to be said and done. So basically, let everything that we think, that we do, be based on the Spirit of God leading you and the Word of God. That's it. That's your source. Nothing else. But it takes practice to be spiritually awake. It does. And that's a lot of what it is. It's not malicious on our part when suddenly we're like, whatever, and we haven't thought about the Lord in forever. It's not malicious, but it's still kind of like we've let our spirit fall asleep. And God is saying, awake today. Okay? Let's stay in the place of spiritual awake. Let's not be like these people in that dream I had that are just like shuffling about, going to the next event, oh, just going to church and whatever. And the reason why is because that's such low-level living. God has called us to so much more. He really has. He's called us to live a life that is extraordinary for him. And you do not have to be like, you know, all these tent revivalists that we hear about. Even though I think their stories are amazing. But you do have to be the one that he has called you to be. And to learn to practice staying in the spirit. Staying in that place of spiritual perception over natural perception. Amen. I hope that encouraged you tonight. You can do it. We can do it. Why don't you stand? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Father, awaken us to spiritual understanding and perception the way we've never known before. We want to operate like the firstborn Jesus. And Lord, you did it so well. You showed us so well. You showed us how we're to listen to the Father and how we're to operate through what the Father was showing you. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you that if you did it, the firstborn did it, then so can we. But help us to be so sensitive to your leading so that we will always remain in the Spirit that our spirit man would be awake and alive and the thing that drives us more than the natural. Lord, we love you. We love you so much. Lord, take us deeper in this. Not just a knowledge or an understanding like, yeah, I agree with that, and go home and nothing changes. But help us to pursue you more, to change our schedules, to seek you more. Lord, to come back to you more, to pray more, to worship more, not because we're trying to appease you or pay for our salvation, but because, Lord, we want to be those vessels that the Holy Spirit can work through without having our flesh in the way. Help us to be so hungry for you, God, desiring your presence and loving you with everything in us. And Lord, remind us this week to keep coming back to you. We just love you so much, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.